This is the Shrimps Verdict podcast. All opinions expressed are those of the individual contributors and not necessarily those of either Morecambe Football Club or of Beyond Radio.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.
Tackle by Songo. Julian Larson doing good defensive work as well, and then fizzes that out towards Joe Adams. In fact, it's going to be Adams down the left-hand side. Lovely ball from Larson. Adams in field. Here comes Max Melbourne. Chance for Morecambe. Oh. Blocked away. Second shot blocked really well on the right-hand side by Corey Adai. That was an excellent shot from Jed Garner on the follow-up, and it's cleared away. That's the closest either side have come to breaking the deadlock. Melbourne first, and a great second effort by Jed Garner, but the ball's still in play. Left-hand side, cross towards the right-hand tip of the penalty area. Brown, battling for it. Goes down, doesn't win a free kick on that occasion. Hey, Fitzgerald, arms in the air. And here comes Harry Forster on the breakaway for Crawley.
Good chance.
Got Ronan Darcy herring up on the right-hand side. Here's Ronan Darcy, oh, is it the post? Everybody back defending this Crawley corner over on their right as they attack in front of the Halo Terrace. It comes in, and that's a fine save by Archie Mayer. That looked for all money as if it was goal bound. The referee brings proceedings to a close in the first half, and Archie Mayer has kept it at 0-0 with a reflex save to be proud of in front of the Halo Terrace from a very, very late corner. Here's Lolos, the Greek forward on the edge of the area. Lolos twisting and turning. He's in here, is Lolos, and he's somehow put it over the bar. That is a superb tackle.
Big
combination
pass
of Badeau, and then I think it was Farron Ross who stuck his toe out and just gets it over the bar for a corner. Almost gets the ball out towards his right hand side. That is not offside either, as Ronan Darcy comes away with it. Here's Keelan Gordon, crosses the ball in, and somehow he's put it over the bar.
Massive chance.
Somehow he's put it over the bar. And it's Dan Orsi, 17 goals to his name, should break the net there. Adams, lovely out towards the right hand side. Senior drives it across, and Jordan Sue's going to tap it in at the back post. There's the opening goal of the evening, and it's Jordan Slew. And it was a beautiful breakaway. Joe Adams initially, out to Senior, and Joel Senior does what he does best, whip the ball across. Crawley couldn't clear. Slew, right place, right time, off the bench, did it Saturday, did it tonight. Morecambe 1, Crawley 0.
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant scenes. You know, there's us on the counter again. It shows you how dangerous we are on that counter. Like I say, Joe Adams feeding those work to Joel Senior, and it's a brilliant ball in from Joel Senior, causing all sorts of problems. And it looked as though the ball was just touched away from Jordy Huula, and the chance may have gone. But Jordan Slew coming in at the back post, and it's a great calm finish again from Jordan Slew, who's been excellent at that this season.
Great ball from Joe Adams, but that's what you want a flying right back on to do, I suppose, isn't it? And bomb on like that.
Yeah.
He's done it so often this season, hasn't he? And what a cross yet again.
Yeah, I think Joel's doing it that much now, it's just becoming the normal for him. And that goal's come 2 minutes after Badu and Joel's block, so just shows how big them blocks were. And Joel's at one end blocking it, and then he's at the other end setting up the goal. So honestly, you can't speak. He can't put foot wrong at the minute, Joel. He's doing unreal.
Brilliant ball through by Joe Adams to Joel Senior, who was herring forward on the right-hand side. His cross looked like Awulu was going to tap it in originally, but partially defended, but there was Jordan Slew. The angle was so tight as well at the near post. Just about slides it in the right side of the post.
Reaction to the action. This is the Shrimps Verdict on Beyond Radio.
There it is. Brilliant.
Referee puts the whistle to his lips, and that is a brilliant, brilliant victory for Jed Brannan's Morecambe. Jordan Slew's second half goal, coming off the bench just like he did on Saturday, scoring the winning goal in front of the Halo Terrace. Brilliant work down the middle of the park by Joe Adams. He fed Joel Senior on the right hand side, and he did what he's done so often this season, and that was drive forward, get a brilliant, brilliant cross in. And there was Slew at the back post. The angle was tight. He found the back of the net for a vital 3 points for Jed Brannan's Morecambe that put us outside the League Two playoff places just on goal difference. and Morecambe goalkeeper Stuart Moore and captain Donald Love alongside us on Shrimps Live co-commentary this Tuesday night. Don, first, what a 3 points that is.
Yeah, massive. Keep picking them up, keep picking the points up and keep this good form going, and I think we fully deserve that. I think they had a few half chances, but overall in the game I think we had the bigger chances, and obviously towards the end of the game they're going to push on and try and nick one. But I think in the first half they came looking for the draw, but the keeper was taking ages, and we punished him at the end of the day, and it's big 3 points.
They had a chance in the first half, didn't they? They hit the post from a breakaway. That was the closest they come, but we stood firm, and I think, as we said about 5 minutes before full time, we love a clean sheet.
Yeah, definitely, especially good for the back four and well, back five when Stokesy came on, and the keeper, and yes, really nice to keep a clean sheet, especially at home, and just sets up Saturday nicely, doesn't it?
Jordan Slew off the bench, he's having quite the season now, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. He's you know what Slew he gives you when he comes on, you know what you're getting from him, and he'll always put his body on the line, and listen, in training he's horrible when he's running at you, and if you ask any of the lads, I don't think they like it, so it's nice to see him doing well, and we've got a really good change room, and I really think we can achieve some of this year.
Stu, we've seen some not so good performances at home, haven't we, in recent games, but the home form under Jed's now starting to really find its feet.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, at the start of the season we had such good home form, and we weren't quite so good away. It then sort of flipped, and you know, we were good away and not so good at home, and now, you know, we're really starting to find our feet, and we're starting to pick up, you know, results on the road and at home as well, so we're starting to find a bit of momentum here, and hopefully we can continue to take that into the remaining games of the season and really pick up as many points as possible.
When you look at the league table and you see that we are just outside the League Two playoff places on goal difference with 11 games to go, what's that going to do for the mood in the camp?
Oh, it's a, you know, it's a great incentive for us, and you know, results like this, like Donald said, you know, hard fought points tonight, it's one of those that, yeah, at times we've had probably the better chances in the game, but how many times do you see that where, you know, we have these chances, don't make the most of it, and you know, the opposing team, you know, it costs you that you don't take your chances. But tonight it was a good, assured performance. Kay Crawley had a couple of chances, Archie Mayer's made a very good save at the end of the first half, and they've obviously hit the post, but apart from that they've not really troubled us too much, so you know, it's a brilliant performance from all the lads, and yeah, hopefully we can just keep building on it. We're looking better every week really, and we're looking stronger, so now we've got that squad depth, hopefully we can just continue to build, and we've got some massive games coming up.
And we have got massive games coming up that don't get much bigger, Don, than Wrexham on Saturday, but that performance and that win and that clean sheet tonight, we should go into the Wrexham game full of confidence.
Yeah, mate. Definitely, we've just got to keep taking it game by game, and listen, you hear all this stuff about Wrexham now with all the, obviously, the owners and stuff, and I think no team likes coming here to Morecambe, and they'll bring a good following, we'll have a good following, it should be a good game.
With Barrow beating Gillingham tonight, MK Dons have beaten Mansfield, and our victory, it's bunched right up again. There's three teams on 54 points in and around that top seven. Goodness me, the running's going to be tight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be. I think we've got to play a few of them teams as well, so you never know what's going to happen, but it's exciting to be involved, and it's nice to be involved in it, and I think we can definitely achieve something this year with the change room we've got.
And with players like yourself and Stu and JJ McKinnon not too far away from coming back from long-term injuries, that's going to effectively give us two or three almost new signings, isn't it? Got to be exciting for yourselves as well to come back, and when you're fully fit, hopefully we're going to still be in that mix.
Yeah, I think just in general, when you've been injured for a long time, it's nice to come back in, but when the team's firing like this, it's obviously going to be a lot better to come back and be involved, and yeah, it's just really nice.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, obviously we're itching to get back. It's been, obviously, you know, for myself and Donald, it's been a long time out, and you know, we're in the changing room every day with the boys still, and I think that's a good thing. As we've said all along, we've got such a good group that we've never felt far away from it, although we're not on the pitch with them, you know, we're in with the boys every day, and we've got great atmosphere in the changing room, and picking up results like we have done today and obviously Saturday, it just adds to that. It brings the confidence in the lads, and you can see it, so you know, long may it continue.
Business end of the season then, gents, what can this team do?
It's one of those that, you know, we've just got to focus on ourselves, go game by game, and you never know what can happen. I mean, between ourselves and the top spot, there's 12 points, which, it's, you know, it's not a massive gap, really. 11 games to go, there's still 33 points to play for. That's a lot of points to play for. You never know. There's, I think we just focus on ourselves, do as well as we can and see where we end up. Ultimately, you know, the goal is promotion, whether that be automatic playoffs or, you know, but ultimately we want to be up there, and we just have to make sure that, obviously, game in, game out, like you say, we've got teams in and around us, so it's in our own hands, and we have to get a result Saturday first and foremost, and see where we are after that, because, you know, it's, like I say, it's the business end of the season now. A couple of wins and you're right in amongst it, a couple of losses and you suddenly drop about 10 places, so it is extremely tight. But yeah, who knows, we'll just have to, you know, keep fighting and see where we end up.
And that's what we said, Don, wasn't it? Where it's all about staying in the mix for as long as possible, but we have got some tough games coming up. But as the Crewe game showed on Saturday, and a great digging victory this evening, we should have no fear against whoever we play.
Yeah, 100%. We've got to take out each game as it comes, and whoever you're playing against, there's big teams in this league, but they're not. When you play against them, it's 11v11, and I think we've got every chance in every game, and yeah, we've got the squad to go and do it.
Just talk to you very quickly, gents, about your injury situation. You spoke to us before the game, Don, but for those who weren't with us before kick-off, explain once more what happened to your injury. It's quite the tale.
Yeah, it was the Tranmere game. It was just an innocuous tackle where I've gone for the ball and he's gone for the ball, and his studs punctured the top of my foot, and then it just swelled that much. Tried playing on it a few games, and then it just got to a point where I couldn't run. Scanned it, and it had a fracture in the middle of my foot on top of it, and then that was about 6 to 8 weeks out. And then as I was coming back from that, I was so close to being back, and you just, because of where the fracture was in the first place, it just caused other complications in the bone, and then sent me back another 8 weeks. And it's just because I've had the other injury before, it always ended up being a bit longer because you've been out for so long, and then it's just really frustrating and stressful at the time. But it's part of football, and I'm just really dying to get back, really, you know, because it's been that long, and especially when the team's doing well. But it feels worse when you're captain as well, because you can't really affect it, and it's frustrating, really, like Stu.
But yeah. Very unlucky that something as innocuous as just having your foot trod on would cause you so much trouble.
Yeah, definitely. But you can get your head around it when it's the first injury, and then when you get the news of the second one, it's just another setback, and it's just frustrating. It's a lot of head loss and stress, but there's an end goal getting back. But and I've got a target of getting back before the end of the season. I really want to meet that, and yeah.
And we've got the king of innocuous injuries sitting next to me. You're going to be back for the end of the season. Don, we saw you in pre-match warming up, and from where you were 10 days ago and I saw you before the Grimsby games of tonight, you were a lot more vigorous in what you were doing.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, as each week goes by now, I'm seeing more and more progress. And, you know, today did a couple of little dives from my knees, nothing too mega, but the big thing for today was, obviously, I was passing and sort of striking the ball sort of 25-30 yards, which is massive for me. Obviously, with the injury I had coming from a kick, it's one of those things that is going to be one of the things we have to really build up and be careful with. But yeah, I think it's been so long now that I'm really starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully, you know, well on track to being back in maybe, you know, three weeks time, 4 weeks time or so. And you know, my aim is to be back by April, and you know, we're going towards that at the moment, so fingers crossed everything goes well with these next few stages, and we'll meet that, and I'll be back very soon.
It's going to be three new signings. I'm going to be all alone here on the press deck, but it's going to be great for the squad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we're going to need every single player in that squad between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely. The thing with long-term injuries is it's more you get back from it, but then it's the fitness side of it that you've missed, because at the start of the season you have the pre-season, and then when you come back from a long-term injury in the middle of the season, it's just pure football, and you don't want to break down with something else in the, you know, say a muscle injury, and it's managing it that way. But as you say, we've got the squad at the minute, and hopefully everyone can stay fit and keep doing what we're doing and keep taking it game by game.
Morecambe captain Donald Love, goalkeeper Stuart Moore, just for you, go, let's have a picture for the socials. Get in there, Donald's going to take that like that, and then take that like that. Shouldn't really do that while you're still in there, but what the hell. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed, and hopefully Don will see you back on the pitch very soon, and Stu as well. I don't know whether we're going to see one or both of you on Saturday. Who knows? I will have a word with him to find out. Gents, thank you very much indeed.
Well, Jed, a 1-0 win tonight over Crawley Town. That was a tough win for you, wasn't it? Yeah, to be fair, they're a very good team. They created a lot of chances. We got behind us a few times, but we defended really well, threw our bodies on the line. In the end, we've done really well. I'm really pleased with the clean sheet. Obviously, people have been saying we can see goals early doors. Well, today, we were solid all over the pitch. Great unit. And we went on to get the win, and Slewy scored again.
He did indeed. Farron Rawson got man of the match, but anyone of that back four could have got it tonight.
Definitely. The keeper was outstanding as well. Joe Adams, they were all over the pitch. We had good performances everywhere, so take it all day. But Faz was outstanding. He won every header, didn't he? So come off with a big bruise on his head. But he'll be all right for Saturday.
He'll enjoy that as a defender, won't he? That's a mark of ambition.
Sorry?
A bruise on your head for a defender, that's a mark of prestige.
He loves it. When he comes in with any cuts, he's in his elements, isn't he? He loves it. He's one of those defenders. When he went down, to be fair, I was worried because he doesn't normally go down. So I don't know if he was just trying to buy time, but I was panicking a bit, but he got up, he's fine.
Let's talk about the winning goal. We didn't half build Jordan Stoke before the game, and he did what he does best there. He came off the bench and made a real impact again.
Yeah, he's been moaning at me, saying why I'm not starting, but I can't start when he comes on and does what he does. He's brilliant when he comes on. He changes the game for us. And we were working all week on low crosses against, obviously, a big keeper, and they can't handle low crosses. And we got a goal from it, which is brilliant. I think Jordy might have just tripped, missed the ball and went straight to Slewy, and he slotted on really well.
The goal itself, great credit to Joe Adams winning the loose ball. Credit then to Joel Senior for another fantastic cross.
That's what he does. You know, you get him with Joe. We spoke at half-time to the lads and said he put three in first half and nobody was on the end of them. So we said to him, listen, when he gets the ball, you know where it's going. You just make your run. Well, you get a few goals, but he did second half and it worked.
As a manager, because Crawley played really well tonight, is that one of the best wins that you've seen since you've been here?
I think so, yeah. They're going about coming back from against Crewe. So, I mean, but they were a really good team tonight and they put us under a lot of pressure and we dealt with it really well. Getting a clean sheet, as I said before, I'm just made up with it, really am.
Did you expect them to play that way? Because it's very different to the way they played at Crawley a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we expect them to play the box in midfield. They play like MK Dons, but against when we played them at their ground, they weren't as good as they was tonight. And they had more freedom in the midfield. They had a good, really, really good movements. They had a few changes, to be fair. But we dealt with it in the end, and obviously got the 3 points.
Looking forward to Saturday. Phil Parkinson was here tonight. What do you think you all learned from your team tonight?
Well, you know, he'll be in for a hard game because he knows that we've got big hearts and we're a team, and we throw ourselves in front of the ball to stop conceding goals. And we're a good unit, and they better be on their toes.
When you're a manager, how pleasing is it to see everyone fighting for everything like they did tonight?
It's brilliant. That's all you want. That's all you say to them before the game. Just go out and give everything. Throw yourself in front of the ball, and I can't ask for any more. We get beat by a bit of team, we get beat. But that's not the case. When in this league, we're as good as anyone.
What I noticed tonight as well was the strength of your bench. That must be so pleasing because you could make changes depending on how the game went.
Yeah, that's probably only the second time we've been able to make selection problems before the game and make good changes. And as you see, the lads that we brought on made us stronger.
Well, yeah, a great, great win tonight, well done.
Thanks a lot.
We're just outside the League Two playoffs on goal difference, Jed, after tonight's results. How much attention are you currently paying to the table?
None. I'm actually not. I'm just taking every game as it comes, and we've got a big 3-8 against Wrexham on Saturday now. So we'll go in there full of confidence, and they'll know they'll be in for a game. So obviously we get Donald and JJ making good progress as well coming back. So in about 3 weeks' time they'll be back.
Hard not to get at least a little bit excited when you see where we are there.
Yeah, I'm excited. Obviously I'm made up to where we are. We're not fighting, looking down. We're looking up. So all the lads. We've told them there's a lot of points to play for, just keep going.
You speak about the business end of the season, we've still got to play Gillingham, still got to play Barrow again, obviously Wrexham, Stockport. It's very much in our hands, isn't it, in the last 10 games?
I'd say when you get to eight games to go, that's when you start thinking about the playoffs, and each game then is really, really important. Obviously they're all really important now, but they're really important. Every point you pick up then gets you further up the league and in the playoffs. And as you say, everyone's got to play each other as well, so anything can happen.
Enjoy the win, Gaffer, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, Jan, a 1-0 win tonight over Crawley Town, a really, really tough game.
Yeah, it was a really tough game. The boys dig in. You know, you have a top squad. You know, you see in the last couple of games how the effect of the bench, you know, the impact of everyone coming from the bench, and, you know, the gaffer been mixing the team, using everyone, and everyone is really committed. So, you know, it's a top performance. We know we needed to win today, and obviously winning 1-0, that's just like a perfect performance, and a clean sheet that we didn't have a clean sheet in a long time, so we're really happy with the result.
Yeah, you in midfield day, you had to work really hard, and I think you were shattered when he came off right towards the end.
Yeah. It's obviously it's been a lot of games. You know, obviously the gaffer want us to give us 110%, and that's what we've been giving to him week in and week out. And obviously it's the commitment. You know, we know where we want to be end of the season. We take it game by game, so we just have to carry on playing the way we've been playing.
Great to see an old teammate of yours from several clubs, Jordan Slew, back on the score sheet again and doing so well.
No, yeah, definitely. I'm really pleased for him. You know, he's a player that in the last couple of weeks he's been making a really good impact coming from the bench, but not just him. You know, every player that's been coming on from the bench, you can see the commitment of the whole squad. And obviously, we're really pleased. Really pleased for him to get another goal today.
We asked Jordan in the build-up to this game, a question I'm going to ask you now, because you were here the last time Morecambe got promoted from this league. What are the similarities with the squad, and do you think that experience will really help the team going forward over the next few weeks?
Obviously, it's totally a different squad. You know, we have a top squad back then, and we have the top squad now, which is different. Obviously, the squad that we have now is a little bit young. But you can see the experience, the players are committed, they want to win, they want to do well for this club. And you can just see, you know, week in and week out the way the team is playing. But you can't compare the squad that we have a couple of years ago back. It's a totally different squad. They're both top squad, just different ability, different quality, different style of play. Obviously, I'm really pleased to be here.
You're working alongside Nelson Kumbeni in the role at the minute, and are you enjoying that, and are you enjoying putting your arm around him and helping him to improve his game?
Yeah, definitely. He's a top player. Obviously, since he came in, he's been a fresh air for us. Obviously, the miss of Eli King that left us in his side into the team really well. He's really composed on the ball really well. Second balls, the commitment that he has, he's a really top player. I'm really pleased to play alongside him. But obviously, Joe has been outstanding for us since he came in, you know, and we have other players, you know, obviously Jake Taylor, you know, they've been able to, Jacob Davenport, you know, that come in and do the job. I think in that sense, no matter who plays in that midfield, I think we have a top squad and top players there to fill in the midfield when it's needed to.
And finally, not much time to rest, just the occasion of Wrexham here on Saturday for you to enjoy.
Yeah, definitely. We're looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a top game. Hopefully the fans will be there to support us, and hopefully we can get the 3 points.
So the Shrimps Trust have got their demonstration of support before the Wrexham game this coming Saturday. James Main from the Shrimps Trust, tell us all about it.
So the demonstration of support that we're doing ahead of the Wrexham game on Saturday is to publicise the fact that the football club is up for sale. And it's also to express our frustrations at the fact that the club has been up for sale for over 18 months now. The other thing about the demonstration of support is that it's to show our support for the club and the directors in their endeavours in the sale process.
You've been very careful to word it as a demonstration of support for the club rather than a protest as such. Why have you chosen to do that?
Because we're not sort of protesting against anything. We're not. We're trying to make it as positive as we possibly can. We want to help the club. We want to publicise the fact that the club is up for sale and get more people interested. And we're hoping that we will get as much publicity as we can on Saturday in order to get our voices heard.
The club has been up for sale, James, hasn't it, for a very, very long time. I suppose there comes a point, doesn't there, where you have to say, enough's enough, we've got to try and do something to push this forward a bit.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. And that's exactly what we're hoping to do. We're hoping that, as I said, we're hoping that we will be helping the club by publicising the fact that the club is up for sale. We've contacted lots of different media organisations and we're hoping that we'll get a good crowd there.
And you don't have to be a member of the Shrimps Trust. You just don't even necessarily have to be a Morecambe regular supporter. You just need to be backing the cause. So where do we need to go on Saturday, and what form is the demonstration actually going to take?
So we're going to be starting up here at Morecambe statue. We're looking to gather there at 11:30 on Saturday morning, aiming to leave from the here at Morecambe statue at 12 o'clock. We're then going to be walking along the promenade with for sale signs. We've ordered 60 for sale signs, but we will be sort of waving whilst going along the prom. We're then going to cross at Regent Road, where the traffic lights are linked for Prom to Regent Road, and then we're going to be going along the pavement on Regent Road and hopefully ending up just outside the ground, but not in the precinct of the ground.
So with 60 for sale signs, hopefully hundreds of people attending the demonstration, you're hoping that that's going to have quite the visual impact?
Absolutely. We want as many people there as possible with their drums. We want people with their drums. We want people making as much noise as possible. We want people utilising the for sale signs. And we want as many people there to get behind this and show our support for the club and its directors, but also to demonstrate the fact that the club has been up for sale for over 18 months.
And important that it is a peaceful demonstration, isn't it? You can be loud, you want everybody to be as noisy as possible, but it has to be peaceful as well.
Absolutely right. And we've been working closely with the police to put things in place so that it's going to be as safe as possible, but also we want to stress the need that it's a peaceful protest. We don't want anyone there causing any problems.
And ending at the Hurley Flyer rather than actually on the concourse at the front of the Mazuma Mobile Stadium. And that's very important as well.
Yes, it's very important because the club have said that they don't want us encroaching on their land, because that's when it then becomes their responsibility. We could then, if we go onto their land, we could be then intervening in the match day operation. Obviously, people are going to go onto the land afterwards anyway to have a drink in JB's or things like that. The demonstration formally ends just before the Hurley Flyer. So not even in the precinct of the Hurley Flyer, but we're finalising with the police those details, and they will be out there as soon as possible.
As a fan and as a member of the Shrimps Trust yourself, James, what do you hope that this demonstration of support will ultimately achieve?
We want the sale of the club. We want it to be sold to the right buyer, of course. But we want to push the process forward. We want to demonstrate the fact that the club's for sale. And ultimately, the end goal is the sale of the club to a legitimate and a reputable person that wants to own the football club, that wants to invest in the club and move this club forward. Because it's a great club, with great fans, with a great manager, with great players. It's a really good place to be on a match day, and we want that to continue.
It's the Shrimps Verdict podcast, part of Shrimps Live on Beyond Radio. This is Dave Salmon. Thanks for downloading this episode. Thank you for your eyes and ears on Shrimps Live, of course, as well. The only place where you can hear full commentary of every Morecambe game for free this season, only on Beyond Radio, on FM and DAB across North Lancashire and Morecambe Bay. And of course, you might be tuning in via iFollow Shrimps as well. Either way, we really appreciate your company. It's a busy old couple of weeks coming up for Jed Brannan's men. Got to the not inconsiderable away trip to Newport County to look forward to next Tuesday. I think we're leaving about midday, something like that, to make sure we get there in time down to South Wales. But all part of the job, I suppose, isn't it? But before that, the small matter of the visit of Wrexham to the Mazuma this coming Saturday afternoon. And of course, before that, the Shrimps Trust and their demonstration of support, which is happening at midday on Saturday. They would love as many Morecambe fans as possible to congregate at the Eric Morecambe statue on the Prom from about 11:30, and then the march is getting underway at 12. Then they go down the Prom and then turn onto Regent Road and then down towards the Mazuma, ending at the Hurley Flyer around about 1 p.m. So you still have time to do all your pre-match stuff and get a beer and that kind of stuff before the visit of Wrexham. Let's look ahead to the game itself then with Tim Edwards. Tim is one of the contributors to the amazing Fearless in Devotion. It's a Wrexham fans content YouTube channel, social media feed, an actual printed fanzine magazine as well, and everything else in between, really. Tim, the ideal man to get the full lowdown on Phil Parkinson's men. Not going to dwell too much on the 6-0 reverse fixture at the Racecourse Ground. We are, I think, a completely different animal to that day, to be honest with you. But a good preview here with Tim. If you're not heading down to the game, full match commentary, of course, as ever. Listen for free on Shrimps Live or subscribe via iFollow Shrimps from just before 2:55 on Saturday. So, Tim, thanks so much for jumping on our podcast, mate. Really appreciate your time. Before we get going and talking about a big game for us all, for both teams, I suppose, on Saturday, tell us the history and the backstory and everything we need to know about Fearless in Devotion.
It just started as a bit of an online sort of fanzine thing. I think I sat there one Boxing Day 2014, I think. I used to do some press stuff for the club, just voluntary. And then I decided I wanted to do my own thing. So I set that up just to provide like a fan's voice. Nothing was being done really in that respect at the time, as far as I can remember. So I just set that up and it sort of gradually grew, you know, and it was just basically me sort of spouting my opinion. But, you know, as a wider context, just more like a Wrexham platform, I suppose, you know, nothing more or less than that. And then over time, got a few more people involved. Those people I now do the podcast with, and we've branched out to doing a full color fanzine, which is the first of its kind for Wrexham, more like a magazine in the true sense, as opposed to the old spit and sawdust black and white, you know, staple together pages kind of thing. So yeah, but you know, there's a lot of hard work that goes into that. So we're not doing it as often as we wish we would do. Everybody's got busy lives, so yeah, hopefully that will see the light of day again in the months to come. We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, it's just literally just gravitated from there, really, just me sort of writing stuff and tweeting out stuff, and yeah, it's just, and then obviously the last 3 or 4 years has just kind of taken off into a different level, to be honest, in terms of the readership. And you know, we're now on YouTube as well, so we're getting a lot more there. So, yeah, on the whole, and that's the upshot of it. It's just to provide a platform for the fans, really.
And there's been an explosion, Tim, hasn't there? Certainly in the last few years of, I suppose you'd call it, fans-driven extra club content. And it doesn't matter who you support, everybody wins. The more content that you can consume as a supporter of whatever club, the better, I suppose.
Yeah, and you know what? Most of the fan content is well-meaning and well-intended. Not everybody gets it right. It's difficult to kind of harness the sort of overzealous nature of being a football fan. You've kind of got to try and rein it in a bit, which is easier said than done, because sometimes that is somebody's selling point, is to just be... Some people are themselves, which I like it when people are themselves, and you get the other people who just go way over the top for extra clicks and extra likes, and they obviously monetize that, and that's fine. But, you know, I like to think that we kind of stick to our values and big believer in kind of having a lot of integrity, really. So, yeah, I mean, it's good that people enjoy it. That's the main thing. They can see it's genuine. They can see that we're all sort of dying-in-the-wool fans from many, many years ago. It's not just something that's just created because of the Hollywood thing. Is, you know, it's been there beforehand, and we've done the hard yards. So yeah, the fan, I don't like it when people say, oh, you're a content creator. No, I'm not. I just hit a button, talk, and then hit the button to stop. That's all it is, you know. People put a lot more into the graphic side of this and all that sort of stuff, but don't put a label on it, really. It's just people giving something to fellow fans off their own back and giving it their own time to do it. You know, it's been done for decades. It's just packaged in a different way now.
How you describe yourself, Tim, along with the other guys who do Fearless in Devotion, as Wrexham lifers. Why do you support Wrexham, and why will you always support Wrexham?
Well, yeah, obviously born here, raised here. And then, you know, you still get people who have two teams, and that's fine. I just, you know, when I was younger, it was always like Man United, Liverpool, and then I discovered Wrexham had a team. I was like, why have I not been told about this before? You know, you've robbed me of my early heritage here, Mum and Dad. So I went along. We were awful, but I loved it. I loved the fact that I was in this massive cavernous ground. There was empty seats everywhere. And it's one of those, isn't it? You either get it or you don't. You either get hooked straight away, if you're lucky, or you'll eventually get it over the course of time. But yeah, that's ultimately the same for all of us. I mean, three of us are local. One was kind of born and raised South Wales, sort of Swansea way, but he's a Wrexham fan through and through by virtue of his dad, which obviously happens a lot, doesn't it? You know, sons and daughters follow in the steps of their parents and choose their parents' team. So yeah, that's that really. Just, you know, four people have been there, seen it, done it, and now we're enjoying the fruits of other people's labour, I guess.
Well, absolutely. I'm not going to harp on and on about the last few years, Tim, because I think that's been very, very, very well documented. I'm sure you could speak for hours about the last couple of seasons. Of course you could. But let's concentrate on this season, if we can. And before we get down to the nitty-gritty of the last few weeks and the Saturday coming up, how do you assess the season for Wrexham so far, from where you are now, based from perhaps your pre-season expectation when you first got promoted back into the EFL?
It's one of those. It was easy to get carried away because of winning it with 111 points, you know, a new record, chased all the way by Notts County. And I think if you're a realistic fan and you've been there and seen the sort of lean times and stuff, you just think, you know what, if we get top seven, then great, you know, playoffs at the first time of asking, wonderful. So in that respect, we're ahead of schedule from a personal point of view. To be third place, having had a bit of a wobble in you know, last month, February wasn't a great month for us really. So to be third, you know, not many points off the top, slugging it out with, you know, some very, very good other teams is, you know, more. I think most people would snatch your hand off if they said, you know, start the season, you're going into March, 3 points off top. Everybody would have said, yeah, go on then, take it. Because there's no pressure to get that one automatic spot now. It's three automatic, one via the playoffs. But I think this Wrexham team have kind of taken that mentality from last season into this and just keep going, be relentless, keep going, be relentless. Because if you do that, then they'll complete the objective they set out to do, which is, you know, back-to-back promotions, which as far as I can recall has never been done in Wrexham's history, off the top of my head, unless it was 70s, but I don't think it has. No, it hasn't. So yeah, it's just a wild ride. And, you know, despite recent indifferent performances, they're just the stuff that we've been served over the last few years, we've just been absolutely spoiled rotten.
Is it just a blip in the last few weeks, Tim? When we came to you, it was end of November time, wasn't it? And I mean, I don't want to harp on about the 6-0 defeat that you inflicted upon us, and it probably could have been about 15-0 on that occasion. But what changed between that team and how just absolutely, utterly ruthless you were, and then seemingly just a few weeks later, you struggle against Forest Green Rovers? What has changed, or is it just every team has a little blip at some point in the season, and that's yours?
I think every team does have a blip. I mean, you've seen it with Stockport. I mean, Creed of the Day, 2-0, lost 3-2 to you guys. I was like refreshing. I was overjoyed. I was like, amazing, doing us a favour. Then I thought, oh, I'm gone. We're playing them next week. So I have sort of slightly mixed feelings about it. But ultimately, which this will be music to your ears, our away form is absolutely at polar opposite to our home form. It's just chalk and cheese, and none of us know why. He's very rigid in how he sets his team up. He's very reluctant to change his formation. Tactics seem very different away. But then, you know, we played really well at MK Dons, and we didn't win. We played all right at Gillingham, but we just got shot shy, and it was just really, really, it's really odd. And I can only assume the only thing I can put it down to is a combination of that sort of rigidness to not change it up away, and we're a little bit predictable, and it's a psychological thing. It has to be. But I don't buy it when people say, oh, well, when you go away, they, you know, they sell out their crowds and there's a big occasion. Yeah, but this is what these players want. This is what these players want. They want to play in front of sold out stadiums. They want to play in bigger stadiums as they go up the league. So that doesn't really wash in me. I just think it's a really weird thing. Honestly, that I think the form table for away puts us something like 13th, 14th, but the form table for home, we're outright leading the way. It's just so strange.
So, Tim, people will be familiar with, or lots of people listening to this will be familiar with Phil Parkinson's style of play. You say he's too rigid and plays differently away from home. So hopefully that should play into our hands. But how is a Phil Parkinson current Wrexham team shaping up and wants to watch? What do we need to know?
Well, you know, it's an odd one because, like I said, you know, to be third in the league is great. It's where we all wanted to be, and it's where we're all hoping we're going to be at this stage of the season. But in terms of, you know, performances away from home, they're so sketchy and indifferent. He likes a 5-3-2, three centre backs, wing backs, three in the midfield, two up front. Will very rarely deviate from that. He's just tried and trusted system. And to be honest, it's garnered him a ridiculous amount of points and a ridiculous amount of wins, and the records have tumbled under it. So who are we to argue that it doesn't work? But we're just a different animal at home compared to away. It's just odd. We try and get it, play it through our best ball playing performers, Elliot Lee and Owen O'Connell at the back. But for whatever reason, we just don't quite click away from home like we do at the racecourse. It's literally baffles everybody. None of us have the answer to it. And we're not going to profess to know more than Phil Parkinson, because he will have forgotten more than we could ever remember about football. So people will do well to remember that next time they ever have a pop at their manager at whatever club they're at, you know? So, it is literally mad. You don't know what Wrexham team you're going to get on Saturday, because we don't either.
And you've got a very good goalkeeper as well, Tim, in Arthur Okonkwo. He's kind of been a bit of a revelation for you between the sticks.
Yeah, he came in late on because obviously there was the whole thing with Ben Foster. We thought he was going to be number one. Then he realised he wasn't as good as he thought he was. So he went back into retirement, scurried back into retirement, but will forever be known for that penalty save against Notts County. Arthur came in. He looks the part. Obviously, he's massive. Comes from Arsenal. You think was going to have something about him. But he comes with a pedigree already at that age. He won the Austrian Cup with Sturm Graz, I think, or Rapid Vienna, Sturm Graz, I think it was. So that straight away, you think, well, he can handle big occasions. He can handle the high-pressure games. So for him to come down to our level, we were all a little bit like, seems a bit of a coup. And we now know that it is. And if we go up, we've got a better chance of signing him on a permanent, because he's out of contract. If we don't, there will be a queue of really at least Championship clubs queuing to take him.
And that's the thing in your squad, Tim. I was looking through your list, and you talk about injuries, and of course every team has injuries, but you look at your squad and you think, well, they could probably still do a job in the Championship, and they'd walk into any League One side, and we're playing League Two football here. So it's almost an embarrassment of riches, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is. And I suppose they're trying to do it in a kind of fairly sensible way, because ultimately he went to get proven kind of League One, League Two players to get us out of the National League. We've come up, we've added to it again by getting some proven Championship players in James McLean, Stephen Fletcher, and seasoned veterans of football. And I was like, is he kind of like getting a bit of a dad's army together here? But you know, they both looked after themselves. They're professional athletes. They're not just people on a last minute payday. And you'll see that. I mean, it's just unbelievable athletes, the pair of them. So I think there is an embarrassment of riches to a certain extent, that's for sure. But again, it's like, it wasn't that long ago where we were not even scraping the bottom of the barrel, we were scraping under the barrel for players. It was just, you know, so I will never, ever apologise for kind of revelling in this period of the football club now, because you never know how long it's going to last. It might last 5 years, it might last another 20 years, I don't know. But, you know, I've definitely had more rubbish times watching Wrexham than I've had good times. But this period over the last 2.5 years has just been probably the best in the football club's history. And I've spoken to fans older than me that remember the sort of late 70s heyday, and they're enjoying this now more than they ever enjoyed that, because of the sustained nature of the success.
Now, suppose you're coming to the Mazuma on on Saturday, Tim. You're going to be earmarking this as a potential nailed on 3 points, but Stockport couldn't beat us at home. Mansfield couldn't beat us at home. Notts County couldn't beat us at home. We've just gone away and beat Crewe, who were, well, they still are in the, well, I think they've just slipped out of the automatic promotion spots as a result of us beating them on Saturday. So it might not quite be the 6-0 that it was at your place.
No, and you know, we kind of, anybody with half a brain will, can't take anything for granted. Everybody can beat anybody on their day in this division, you know? Like, we just absolutely annihilated Accrington Stanley, but we got thumped at their place. You know, we got thumped against MK Dons at home, but we should have beaten them down there. So you literally don't know it's going to pan out. And you don't get many teams that tend to do the doubles over teams in a season. If they do the doubles over teams in a season, then you're pretty much going to be up there. So if Wrexham want to stay up there, they need to go about it in a kind of diligent way, be respectful of the opposition, which they always are. Parky and his management team will have done his homework for sure. But there's nothing guaranteed, absolutely nothing guaranteed at all. So we have to be wary. I think Morecambe got reasonably decent pedigree on home soil as well. And they have to be ready for that, really. Not just that, but everything else that comes with it, the potential increase in crowds, I'm assuming it seems to happen these days. It's a combination of things. People want to see the team beat the Disney team, and will Tyson Fury rock up with Ryan Reynolds next to him? You know, all these like weird sort of subplots to it.
Well, Tyson said he was going to be there. I mean, I don't know whether we're going to have any American visitors on Saturday. Might be a nice little twist in the tail, perhaps.
Who knows? When we beat you, I my graphics guy does stuff for the Twitter and all that. He sent me a graphic of Ryan Reynolds, a topless Ryan Reynolds, over a floored Tyson Fury, and both of them shared that on their Instagram. So my phone was almost exploding with all sorts of likes and comments and shares. It was a bit mad, but you know, whichever way you look at it, you know, it's good, isn't it? It's like I think they're both similar. Obviously, one's a sportsman, one's a film star, but they're both similar in the sense that they're just likable characters. That kind of they've both kept it fairly down to earth, haven't they? You know, everybody knows where Tyson lives. I enjoyed his documentary as well. I loved it. It was great. So you never know what's going to happen. If he turns up, great. But I definitely won't be. I won't be sharing any abuse at him, that's for sure.
He's quite tall, to be fair to him, yeah. I don't think it would make the documentary anyway, to be honest, Tim. I don't think we've allowed the cameras in on Saturday. So if he does turn up, then somebody might have to film it on a phone or something, I don't know.
Yeah, is that like a club decision, is it? Is that a...
From what I can gather, we had a call from a top exec at Disney, and they said, and obviously asked if they could bring their cameras, and they wanted them in the dressing room and the tunnel and here, there and everywhere. And we said, no, we just want to concentrate on the game, which I suppose it's the club's prerogative to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, no, of course it is. And you know, you'll get different reasons for people either choosing to allow it or choosing not to allow it. And there might have been room for compromise, bring a couple. Don't bring everything, just bring a couple, have a pitch-side one or whatever, I don't know. But I mean, literally, they're filming everything that moves at the moment. It's crazy. We've had filming for it, and you know, we don't know if we're going to be in it. We've been in it for voiceover stuff, but yeah, it's wild, because from my point of view, even if nobody ever watches it ever again, that's documented in history for me to watch, for you know, people's kids and their grandkids and whatever to watch. So it's always there as like a kind of like a popular time capsule, I suppose.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, Tim, actually, very quickly. I was in the second series of Sunderland Till I Die for about 5 seconds. And I'm like, well, where's my royalties? Come on, Netflix, where's my royalties? How did it feel to be part of something as enormous as the Wrexham Doc?
You just kind of like, you kind of roll with the punches a bit, because initially I was my face was in it at Chesterfield away day, and I thought, oh great, I'll take that. And the next minute we're getting emails saying, can we use some audio from your pod to kind of overdub some of the episodes and all that. Yeah, fine. And then, you know, that's kind of like come full circle. Now they're looking for more people to speak to from the personal stories. So we've had a bit of that. We don't know if it's going to make it. I don't know. But yeah, it's lovely. It's lovely. And there's so many people that are in it that, you know, deserve to be in it. And there's a lot of people that deserve to be in it that aren't in it. And, you know, you can only work with so much. You can only work with so much film. And some of the best people at the football club have hardly featured on it. You know, Geraint Parry's the club secretary there. He has done everything at that football club and knows everything about it. Probably one of the biggest unsung heroes ever. His story would have been great. You know, more in depth, but he's quite an introvert guy. So, you know, whether he's been asked or not, I don't know. But yeah, it's great. It's great to be a part of. It's a privilege to be a part of. And the good thing about it is that it's been universally, you know, kind of got a universal acclaim from everybody. People have viewed it for what it is and can kind of relate to it. You know, this isn't just about our football club. It's about everything that, as a football fan, whether you're a Morecambe fan, Wrexham fan, or Boca Juniors fan, it's all about the community around the club and kind of wishing the days away to get to a match day. Because for many people, that's where they get their big social fix. And, you know, a lot of older people don't see many people during the week, but they see their friends on a weekend at the matches. So I love the fact that it's tapped into all of that and it's won plenty of awards and well-deserved. And yeah, we'll see if it goes beyond season 3.
I think it's going to go forever and ever by the sound. I mean, especially if you keep carrying on the way you do, Tim. I mean, it's got plenty of miles left in the clock, I suppose, hasn't it? Tim, I've kept you far longer than I said I would, so thank you so much. I know you've had a long old day at work and you've not had your dinner or anything yet, so thank you for sitting down and talking to me before you get sorted for the evening. So I really appreciate that. Just before you go, one last question. Where are you going to finish at the end of the season?
Third. I'm happy with that. Happy with a bronze medal, you know, all day long. I just think, as much as I'd love the wheels to fall off Stockport, because we're kind of chasing them down again, similar to the season before last, I just think they've probably got enough. They've got players to come back to kind of stay there or thereabouts. And I just think Mansfield, they're the best team we've played, 100%. I've been to Field Mill twice this season. We beat them in the FA Cup. We played really well to beat them, and we drew 0-0 in the league. I think, was it 0-0 in the league? I think so. But we were lucky to come away from it with a point, because they were great. They were fantastic. And they just play football really well. They're very quick. They got a lot of physical players on that side, and a manager that's been there and done it at a higher level. So I can't see beyond Mansfield. And then I kind of Stockport and us maybe for second, but I'll take third with, like, you know, 7 points clear of fourth, just so we can relax in this final few weeks.
I think it's going to be Mansfield, Stockport, Wrexham in whichever order as well. I think definitely the three best teams we've played this season, and I think the rest of us are going to be hopefully fighting out for a playoff spot. Tim, appreciate your time, mate. Thank you very much indeed. Search Fearless in Devotion on YouTube, Fearless FDZ on Twitter, X, and anywhere. If you just search Fearless in Devotion on Google, everything you do pops up, doesn't it? And loads of great content to enjoy.
You'll find it.
Appreciate your time, Tim. Speak to you next time, mate. Cheers.
Take care, all the best.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.